some big media convergence.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke with another sign of how the media landscape is changing. NBC is an old giant from the founding days of television. Think rabbit ears and free TV. Now there's word General Electric might sell part of the Peacock network to the cable giant Comcast. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is following the story in our New York bureau, and she joins us live. Good morning.
Good morning.
Elisa, I know rumors of a potential NBC Comcast deal have been out there a while, but does it surprise you that Comcast would want this old school TV network?
You know, it's no secret that Comcast has wanted to branch out for a while now. Back in 2004, it tried very hard to buy Disney. It ultimately failed, but that's definitely the direction it's been heading. The other thing is that Comcast already owns part of MGM Studios, so it's already pretty entrenched in the entertainment business.
But what is the appeal of NBC?
The big thing is actually NBC's cable channels. So in that sense, wanting NBC isn't even such a big stretch for Comcast. Now, you may already know this, but NBC owns everything from MSNBC and the Weather Channel to Bravo and Oxygen. Obviously, NBC also owns a big film library thanks to Universal Studios, so Comcast could put all those movies out on its on-demand service. And then there's the website Hulu.
Would this deal help Comcast compete for viewers in some way?
More than that, it would help them compete for ad revenue. There are a couple markets now where Comcast has to compete with local NBC affiliates for ads, and if they were one company, that wouldn't be an issue anymore.
Marketplace's Elisa Roth joining us live from New York. Thank you.
You're welcome.
In a couple of hours, the government will release the September unemployment rate. Economists are expecting 9.8%, up from 9.7% in August. European markets are down about 1% after a big sell-off in Asia. Losses there between 2 and 3%. On Wall Street yesterday, what a way to begin the fourth quarter. The Dow dropped 203 points to 9,509. Technology is changing how patients interact with doctors. Some of the companies hoping to profit from that shift will gather next week at a conference in San Francisco. Reporter Joel Rose has more.
The Health 2.0 conference is trying to bring the innovative culture of the web to the relatively stodgy world of healthcare.
This is a conference which is largely sort of the Silicon Valley Web 2.0 crazy startup crowd meets mainstream healthcare.
Co-founder Matthew Holt says the conference includes a few big names like WebMD, Google, and Microsoft, but mostly it's a gathering of startups that want to use tools like social networking and video chat to get patients more involved in their own care. The conference's other co-founder, Indu Sabaya, says that more communication between patients and doctors could result in cost savings for the healthcare system overall.
The more you can improve the efficiency of certain sort of mundane operations, I think slowly we will make a dent in the healthcare cost debacle.
Slowly is the operative word here, in part because the biggest consumers of healthcare tend to be a little older than your typical Facebook user. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by saveandinvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money with confidence. Online at saveandinvest.org.
This week, casino operator Wynn Resorts raised more than $1.6 billion on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange to build a second casino in the world's gambling capital, Macau. Wynn and its fellow American gamer, Las Vegas Sands, depend on this former Portuguese colony for more than half their revenue. How bright is the future there? Our China bureau chief, Scott Tong, took a turn at the tables.
Macau casinos made a record $1.4 billion in August, triple the take of Las Vegas. Just a year ago, American casinos here laid off thousands of workers and mothballed expansion plans. What changed? Local economist Ricardo Su says Chinese high rollers who had laid off the tables returned.
This is a matter of confidence. Once now the market rebound, they have the purchasing power, and they will just continue their leisure consumption.
And Sue says the special visa rules regulating mainland Chinese visitors to Macau were relaxed. The gamblers can come more often now. The question is whether they hit the local Macau casinos or the flashier American ones. The Vegas outfits first came in 2004, blitzing up this seedy gangster town. Local political scientist Eric Sautaday saw the black-eyed peas at one of them, the fancy new casino, the Venetian.
And you had Donna Summer as a guest. I know she's not young anymore, so that's, I guess she needs that as a retirement scheme, maybe. But still, I mean, this was something that never came to Macau before.
Revenues came more slowly. The Americans still lag behind the local operators. Consultant Steve Vickers at FTI International Risk says the new guys in town are learning the hard way.
Most of the mainlanders who come to gamble are not interested in the Disney experience or the family experience. They're there to gamble and maybe have a bubble bath on the way out.
The singing gondola operators, the restaurants, the circus shows may one day attract more Chinese. Tourism professor Kathy Xu teaches at Hong Kong Polytechnic University.
As they travel overseas and they develop an appreciation for those things, then maybe 10 years from today, the Venetian market could be right on target. But the question is, can the investors wait that long?
There are incentives. The Macau pie is gigantic. And politically, this territory may be too important to fail. In Macau, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, today is the 50th anniversary of The Twilight Zone. CBS bought a pilot from Rod Serling in 1958, but decided there was no money in science fiction, so it sold the script for $10,000. When that pilot turned into a hit, CBS decided to produce a series. Soon everyone would know that The Twilight Zone is a fifth dimension, a middle ground between light and shadow, between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. Which also happens to describe our economy these days. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.